So it's too late.
Don't push that button. That's the wrong one.
All right, here we go. We'll make sure we do, maybe we'll do two commercials this time, Scott, okay? That's your favorite part, Scott, is the commercials?
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. We are here to podcast about
Happy Halo today.
Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kaldrahanson.us. That's rabr.kaldrahanson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kaldrahanson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars! I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say hello!
Hello, and we got guest host Rick with us today, who's incognito. He's witness protection. So, Rick is here to help us out. He's got his laughy emotion on. I think we can see that on the video later. So today we're reviewing Star Wars Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 2, Ruins of War. And this is a continuation of the first episode that we just talked about briefly beforehand. And we're going to discuss some... Well, no, we don't have any news today because I used it earlier. We're going to discuss the episode, talk about how to give us feedback, questions of the week, and, of course, the entire episode. To start us off with, I'm going to push this button here. So that's our spoiler alert. Anything you hear from going forward is going to be a spoiler for the episode. If you haven't watched the episode, please go back and watch it and come back to us. So we're talking about the Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 2, Ruins of War. It was first aired on January 4th and was 28 minutes. So it was 4 minutes longer than episode one. I said April to start with when I switched it to January. So the, again, with the cast, I've decided that we're going to kind of keep track of the cast going forward because we haven't really done that before. So all the clone troopers again are Dee Bradley Baker. We've got Omega being Michelle Aang. In our episode today, Admiral Rampart appears. That's Noshir Dawla. And then we have that old guy, Romare Adel. His name is Hector Elizondo. And I've put links on our website to their IMDb pages as well. But I wanted to kind of point out Romare Adel, Hector Elizondo. That's a pretty big actor there too. Kind of like we had Wanda Sykes and Ray Perlman in the previous episodes. Hector, I don't know if you guys ever watched the Outdoor Man TV show. Did you watch it, Rick?
No, I don't think so.
He's the boss that's in the show, so. That Outdoor Man show is the one where it's loosely based on, you know, a place like Bass Pro Shop or whatever.
Yeah.
He's the boss in there. He's been in a lot of things though. A lot of other movies and shows. If you look him up on IMDb, you'll see that he's all over the place and crazy with anything he's done. Done quite a bit of voice stuff. Been quite a bit of TV. I don't know. He's been in a couple movies, I think it said. But as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, who is that? You know, I had to, you know, pause the show to get the credits at the end because it goes by so fast, you know, to find out who he was. So here I'm going to, since we skipped commercials on the last episode, I'm going to play a commercial for Scott. Here we go.
Are you planning your next trip to Tatooine? Well, come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where our droids will spruce up your wagon. We'll service just about anything from Starfighter Corellian Y-1300 freighter to a Vespa hovering scooter. If we don't have the part, we can get it. If you qualify for our special program, we'll provide you with any part our Jawas can get. Well, that's right. Come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where we can store fuel and upgrade your vessel. We're located at Tatooine's Mos Eisley Spaceport, Hangar 35.
Yeah, we're supposed to hear from her, I think, in this season, too.
Yeah.
Pelly is supposed to be available. All right, just so you know, those are fake commercials, Rick. They're not real.
Man.
I'm sure you figured it out, but
I was whipping out my credit card for credits right now.
Yeah. All right, so it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room as we talk about it. So our episode starts off, they're still falling from the crate. Omega Tech and Echo are thrown around the cargo container until the reentry thrusters finally fire. There's a lot of tension and drama there where they're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to crash land and die kind of thing. Hunter and Wrecker are preparing to sneak through the city back to the Marauder. And they're having all kinds of issues because the clones are following them.
Issues.
The container finally lands on the ground, but it skids across the ground and lands on an edge of a cliff that's about ready to fall apart. So they're like, oh, this is kind of scary because it's wobbling, right? And they try to exit, and as they attempt to exit, the container shifts. What? Tech does what?
It does tech gets quite cracked on them, right? On his legs.
Yeah, he hurts his leg. When it falls over the cliff, right?
Yep. With the container falls. With 150 pounds of pressure.
Yeah, well, he knew exactly how much it was too. That which is funny. Okay, the container falls over the cliff, and Tech's leg is broken under the falling containers. Clone troopers under the command of Captain Wilco begin searching for all members of the batch monitoring comm channels. Hunter and Wrecker are scouting the city, and Hunter sends a coded message over comms telling the others to follow plan 00. And I think it's Echo that explains what is it, Echo or Tech that explains what 00 is. It's basically
please
radio silent.
That means don't use calm. Yeah.
Go radio silent is what it really means, right?
Radio silent, that's it.
And Omega is noticing that they're being followed. It is the old band Romar. And they confront him, and they ask for shelter because, you know, Tech's hurt. And he initially denies shelter, but Tech notices a heat source in the distance and insists that Romar take him there. And Wilco has intercepted the coded message and orders his squad to find all 50 cargo containers, which will eventually produce the rogue clones that are going for a ride, right? Hunter and Wrecker find an old Separatist tank, which they hope to break into and start up so they can get past these clone troopers. But we eventually find that those tanks don't work, right? They try everything. And back at the Romar home, Omega and Echo argue about going back to complete their mission and retrieve the war chest. Omega wants to, and Echo says it's not safe. And Romar adds that Dooku took from his own people, meaning the people in the city, as well as other people across the galaxy. Adds that it's possible that they're going to be off-world as soon as possible when the Empire leaves. And they both are kind of suspicious of this Romar guy, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of this guy, Rick? Does he, he almost kind of looks like a clone when I first see him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead, but, you know, there's a little bit of sketch with this guy here. He's got the lower part of his residence or whatever goes down, and actually Omega follows him down there, and he gives her, like, that kaleidoscope thing.
Yep.
But he doesn't really explain what he's doing down there, and we don't really see. So,
exactly.
And I don't want to say too much because there's another part later on that kind of makes you kind of suspicious about that too. But he's a little sketch.
Yeah, we're coming up on that real quick here. But yeah, I was suspicious of him too. Just kind of like the Batch was suspicious of him from the start. Usually because they have good instincts, right? So they're usually a pretty good judge of character.
Well, he's the only one on the planet. Like, there's nobody in the
so city, far, yeah.
Nobody around, and yeah, I mean, like, he's the only inhabitant, it appears. So
yeah, and we find out later that he mentions other people that are around, but we don't see them, right? We never see anybody.
Yeah.
So we don't know for sure. All right, so Wrecker and Hunter are preparing the tanks, but fail. It looks like Wrecker is able to take one of the cannons off and use a battery that Hunter has gathered and activate the cannon so the cannon actually works. And then we go back to the Romar underground residence. And
he holds it like
a gun?
He holds the gun like Rambo.
Kind of.
He's living up to his name, Wrecker.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So this is the point where when they're back at the Romar residence that Omega gets the kaleidoscope and she immediately thinks it's worth money, but it's not. It's more of a child's toy. Well, she thinks that when she looks inside of it, there's jewels inside of it, and it's just mirrors and glass, right? So she thinks that's worth money, and he kind of tells her, "No, it's not. It's a toy. It could be gold, though. It looks kind of shiny." They told her to look for shiny things. They told her to look for shiny things, right? So Omega returns to Tech and Echo, who are discussing the war chest. Echo leaves to check for patrols, and Tech helps Romar activate the data core of the Sereno's archive. So he's got the data core of the city in his basement there with him, and they activate it. And Omega goes off on her own and kind of forms a plan to go back and get the war chest, which we know is not going to go well. Wrecker and Hunter try to fix the tank. And like I said, Wrecker gets a cannon and starts destroying an approaching V-Wing, giving them the advantage. So they're able to get away from the clones and everything, and at least put further distance between them and the clones so they can get to Echo and the rest of the crew, right? Or the Marauders so they can get the crew. And we see that Tech fixes the data core and Echo returns, noticing that Omega is missing. Oh no, what happened to Omega?
Where'd she go?
The two clones set out to find her, and Omega rappels, or it says rappels, but that's not what it means. That she rappels down to the crash cargo container. So she's going in for the shiny stuff. And Wrecker and Hunter are finally blasting their way through the clones and get to the Marauder. A search and recovery squad of clones scans the cargo container that Omega is in, and Wrecker reaches her just as a squad begins firing upon the container. So he jumps down and to join her. Right, Scott? The fire cuts the cable, and Omega shows Echo her full pack of jewels and credits. Tech engages some of the squad, and Captain Wilco reroutes air support to where Wrecker and Hunter are retreated to. They reach the Marauder and ask for Tech's coordinates, which Tech sends them. They encounter several V-Wings on the way, and you know, Wrecker's still using his cannon a little bit too. Tech engages a physical struggle with the ambushing clone troopers, but wins, and then stuns several manning the, what are they, like sniper type of guns and big heavy guns that they've set up.
Cannon guns.
Exactly. And he finally collapses from, because he's, weak from his injury, I guess.
150 pounds of pressure on a steamer.
Exactly. Exactly. From a crate. Omega loses her pack and collapses and is upset, but Echo convinces her to leave. Because this is where they have that conversation where there's things more important than money, right? More important than shiny objects. Romar helps Tech up, and they spot the approaching gunship. Tech takes to a gun and shoots down the ship while Romar tries to pull Omega and Echo up with a new cord, it looks like, where he ties onto the old one. I could never tell for sure.
Yeah, he tied a new cord to the speed bike.
Exactly, a speed bike, that's right. And they get... The container begins to fall and they get thrown down further, but Romar uses stolen speed bike to pull them back up. So he uses the motors from the speed bike to pull them up, which is kind of a good idea for someone who may not be that strong. And they finally arrive back up on the cliff, and the Marauder arrives. While they approach, they make another V-Wing crash into the cliff. And Romar watches them fly away as they all get back aboard the ship. On the ship, Omega apologizes to Echo for her behavior on the mission, citing her only wish was to repay the squad for taking her in. And this is where Echo assures her that, taking her in was the right choice and that they would have... if he had to do it again, he would have done the same thing. Otherwise, they would be serving the Empire if they hadn't rescued her. That's a little touching moment. That's our little father-daughter moment that we had in that episode.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the final scene here, later back at the shipyard, Captain Wilco reports to Admiral Rampart that his men have recovered 85% of the war chest. Rampart dismisses this and instead noted that the mention of Clone Force 99 in Wilco's report, who were confirmed dead when they bombarded Kamino of course, at the end of season one, the Bad Batch, he explains that the squad's survival would cause him to lose favor with Tarkin, with Grand Admiral Tarkin, and orders Wilco to falsify the reports. Wilco thinks about it, and he says he's not willing to submit a falsified information, and rejects Rampart's order. In response, Rampart pulls a gun on him and aims his blaster at Wilco, who it says here he attempts to wrestle it, but I didn't see that. I saw that he backed up and fell over the cliff is what I saw in the episode. So he falls off the cliffside and onto the Imperial shipyard.
He had a little help falling off the cliff.
You think Rampart pushed him a little bit, or?
Oh, well, yeah, he pulls the trigger on him.
Yeah, he shot. I thought he shot him too. I tried to watch it two or three times and I could never really quite tell all the way. But it looked like he got shot and that the shot pushed him back over the cliff.
He was taken to the train station.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Yellowstone reference there. Yes. All right. So that's the end of the episode, and we don't know what happens. We don't see. We don't see Wilco hit the ground. We don't see, you know, a bunch of blood or anything. We just see him fall and disappear as he, you know, out of view or whatever. I'm going to play our second commercial, and then we'll get into more discussion and question of the week and stuff. So here we go.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Does your bald head take a beating from shaving, the sun, and all of the things Mother Nature throws your way? Do ladies look at your dry, sunburnt head and cringe? Well, guys, there's a new product out there in the head care market that promises to rock your head. I mean dome. Looks soft, clean, and touchable, and it's trending number one through social media and on YouTube. Introducing Dome Armor. It conditions with moisturizers like coconut oil and shea butter, protects with sunscreen up to SPF 45, and enhances your already sexy dome into an irresistible hands-on experience. Keep your head, I mean dome, safe and protected. Get Dome Armor, now available in fresh bacon scent. Sure to bacon. Get the ladies to come running in fine stores like Walmart and Lowe's. Oh, and for those still struggling with minor hair loss, try Grogaine. This product will refresh, revitalize, and regrow hair on your dome.
Yeah, Scott's one of our best customers. His hair is starting to come back.
On the wrong spot.
What?
What? All right, so...
Grogaine. Be something else too.
Yeah. We don't have that product yet. So the feedback, we're going to ask you, email us at feedback@kylesjohansson.us. You can go to the website and click the feedback link on the left hand side, fill out the form. You can answer questions of the week, and there's comments section there where you can put more comments about the question of the week. And of course, when we get the video up on YouTube, there's comments there that you can send to us. And we also are on social media. I forgot to mention that last time. So we're on Twitter. Maybe future we'll have more social media presence. We just need an audience that's going to respond to us first. So there's that. So I mentioned the question of the week. And the question this week, or this episode, is the clone Captain Wilco actually dead? What do you think, Scott? Did he actually die going over the cliff?
I don't know. Did he have a parachute?
He could have.
Was it just a knockout pull?
He just went over the edge. We assume he got shot, so the shot might have knocked him out or something like that. So choices here on the question that says, no, he is a tough clone who will survive. I mean, he didn't get to be a captain for no reason. And then I have, yes, that was a very high cliff. No, we didn't see the body. Or yes, that was a very long drop. So whatever you want to pick on there. What was your opinion, Rick? Do you think he's going to survive?
I'll show you my emoji.
Train station. Yeah. So it's interesting because there is almost no mention of Captain Wilco anywhere else in the Star Wars universe. You know, we've got the Clone Wars and all these other shows. No Captain Wilco. So that's one of the only times that we see this guy. Mm-hmm. So to me, that kind of means that he's a one-off kind of guy. He's the he's the red shirt guy from Star Trek. You know, the one that gets killed off. So that's kind of my opinion. He dies going over the cliff, but he could always come back. And you know, since he's questioning Rampart, maybe he becomes part of you know, the Bad Batch's crew. Who knows? Not, I don't mean crew all the time, but you know, their network that they build up.
Because he establishes a new base for the rebellion,
right? Because we know that Captain Rex has already been in contact with the Bad Batch a couple times from season one. So Captain Rex is around also helping the Rebellion. And if you pay attention to any of the other shows, like Rebels, Captain Rex is a pretty integral part in starting the Rebellion as well, from the background, I guess. So
kind of tying in Andor... maybe he's one of them that they've smuggled, and remember, he sees names on the wall or container, right, or whatever. So exactly. He survives, and he's smuggled and sent some other place.
Yeah, and I think if you watch Star Wars Rebels, Rick, you kind of hear a lot more of Rex's story, at least where he's at. It doesn't really say how he got there, I don't think. But we get to see where he's at, and he's with like five other clones, kind of doing their own thing, kind of like the Bad Batch is doing, but not more in the background kind of stuff, and not necessarily taking the big fight like the Bad Batch is.
Yeah.
But we find out that stuff in you know. He's in contact with, he's got contacts with a lot of the other people that are involved in the Rebellion, right? Because who's the guy that takes Yoda at the end of Order 66? They rescue him and stuff like that. The Alderaan guy, he's a big part of the Rebellion, and Rex is in direct contact with him. Jimmy Smith's, what's his character's name? Gosh, what is it? Anyway, he's the one that raised Leia.
Oh yeah, the senator. Yeah.
He raised Leia.
Amidala, is that his name?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
I'm sorry, Leia.
Yeah. So yeah, he's in direct contact with Rex all the time too. Which I think from all the shows we've seen, Andor, you know, Star Wars, we've seen the sequels, all the other shows. He is a key figure in the entire Rebellion, at least in my opinion. He's one of the main characters in the entire thing, and I would almost like to see something around, you know, a show around that myself. But
well, he's so high profile being in the Senate, and so therefore. You know, it's kind of
pretty under wraps.
The double agent kind of mentality.
Well, I mean, I get that, but we have in Andor, we have Mon Mothma, which is another key figure. And we get to see a lot around, I say a lot, but we get to see a small part around what she's going through and dealing with. Because we know from the movies that right before Order 66, she denounces Palpatine. And not long after that, Palpatine declares the Galactic Empire. And then, you know, after that big meeting, he goes down into his lair and starts giving Order 66. So anyway, she's very involved, is what I'm trying to say too. And we don't we see tiny bits of him, but I'd like to see more of what he how he's involved too. But anyway, maybe we'll see some of that in Andor season two. Maybe. All right. Mm-hmm. You guys have any other thoughts or predictions about what's going to happen going forward?
Not really thoughts. So here's a question. You guys can answer this for me possibly, but it seems like the Bad Batch's guns are always set to stun. Is that just because they still feel the affinity for the other clones? Or because it seems like their guns are never set to kill. You know, Wrecker uses the cannon, obviously, but any right. of their shots are stun shots, not kill shots.
I think it depends on the situation too. Yes, I think there was more kill shots in season one.
The shooting's different. The pulses that comes out and it comes as a circle.
Because I didn't recall that in season one, especially you know with Crosshair. Man, he was like you know that was kind of his thing. So that's what I just wondered if that was just a difference.
I think it's a different mentality because now they're helping people. They're not
killing,
fighting for their life. Let's say,
yeah.
I mean, they are kind of still.
Well, but Shooter going to show up this season?
Who? Crosshair
He's on the Empire side. Yeah,
Crosshair. He's supposed to be in this season. I actually think he's going to be in the next episode. We haven't really discussed the next episode, but episode 3 is called Solitary Clone. And I'm wondering if that's going to have to do with him because he's kind of by himself. Yeah. Last we saw him before the Kamino destroying incident, he was training troopers.
He can't get Order 66 out of his head.
Yes. He was training troopers how to be like the clones are. Because the Empire had already figured out that troopers were actually cheaper and easier to find than clones were. So he had been training them. So I'm wondering if he's like the solitary clone training kind of thing, or I don't know, maybe one of the Bad Batch gets abandoned somewhere by accident. But that's the next episode title, is the solitary clone.
Maybe you'll have a change of heart.
I have seen some of the
until he gets a chip. Until he gets no.
I've seen some of the reels, you know, that they show for promoting the show, where he is with our team in there. You know, I don't know if that's, you know, fighting with them, you know, fully together or kind of like what they were on Kamino, where they had to fight together to survive kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like the end of first season.
Exactly. Exactly. So
on Kamino.
Exactly, and I've heard there's also going to be flashbacks to before season one, possibly. Mm. So we'll see. There's a lot of rumors out there, especially on social media. You know, I do use Twitter, and Twitter's usually the worst on spoilers, I think. But it's almost. It's almost impossible for me to. I use social media a lot to find, you know, news things to talk about, and I do use Google News a little bit too. But I find more stuff on social media, like the translation of the controls panel that I showed earlier. So I was on social media. But you got to watch that because I found that before I even watched the episode.
You need to find us a blue check person.
Yeah. I had one, but they're always too busy. They're always too busy. I think eventually we'll get a blue check. I think that's what's going to happen. But all right. So I didn't. That was the feedback. That was all the discussion. Unless you guys have any other predictions that's going to happen, we can end this episode if you want.
Have we made it through your outline?
Shut up. I have to have an outline or I forget what I'm doing, like playing commercials, you know?
Yeah, you just put it on your phone and replay it. That way you remember it.
If you don't watch that, I'll play some more stuff.
Yeah, wing it.
I'll save the last commercial for next time, so Rick can hear that one. But the next one is also another thing that's totally made up, but it has its own Twitter page, so sweet. you'll hear it later. But I'm gonna go ahead and push the outro.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://. rabr.caldrickhudson.us. That's rabr dot kailejohansen.us. On the left hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site.
Feedback.
Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Bridge Room website at rabr.kailejohansen.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney
are Plus, not.
Or any of its subsidiaries. Any broadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle J. Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott Seddon. Say goodbye now.
Bye now. Say goodbye, Rick.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right. Let's push this button.